Hi, everybody. It's Jim Baekje, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. So I got a couple of things this week that have sort of popped up, and it's kind of been interesting. So if you'll sort of allow my indulgence of thoughts. The first one, I saw something interesting talking about blind spots and how people have blind spots in their lives and everything else. And, you know, the cynical nature of my mind always sort of questions everything. And I said to myself, and I also sort of commented on LinkedIn, is it a blind spot if you know what it is? Like, I can understand if someone says, oh, he or she has a blind spot that they're not aware of, that's one thing. But when people talk about it in the first person and they say, well, you know, that's my blind spot. And I'm like, well, if it's your blind spot, then how do you know that it's your blind spot if it's supposed to be blind? It's like when people say, you know, I heard it with my own ears or I saw it with my own eyes. Well, who else's eyes would you see it with or who else would you hear it with? So then it sort of took me down the rabbit hole of thinking about blind spots, thinking about my own blind spots, which they actually aren't blind spots because I know what they are. And I wondered then, so let's just call this thing a blind spot. And whether it's a blind spot about how you see someone or how you view the world or things like that, if you know about it and you choose to do nothing about it, it's no longer a blind spot. You've just made the decision that I'm not going to do anything about it. And I think that it probably shows itself up in many, many ways these days when people sort of apologize for periods of time and didn't realize that the times have changed. You know, things are different now. Bad on me, I guess it was in my blind spot. But the reality is that everybody knows. At the end of the day, everybody knows. Everybody knows if they're doing something inappropriate. Everybody knows if they have an inappropriate view, regardless of whether you agree with the view or not, you know. If it's gender-based or it's racial-based, you know. So stop looking for the exit ramp of acceptance by calling it a blind spot. Either deal with it and say, okay, you know, I feel this way about certain people or this or that, and I'm going to educate myself to figure out how to feel differently or how to at least accept it or that, or just fess up and say, no, that's never going to happen. But I think it's one of those things that people use as a crutch to justify what they do or how they do it or how they think. It's kind of like, you know, when you're fighting with your spouse or you're fighting with someone in your family and the conversation sort of gets to the point, well, okay, you're right. I guess I'm just a loser and so on and so on. You're like, no. Like, don't jump to that, right? Or I'm a terrible father. I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible child, right? Those are just exit ramps, right? Those are exit ramps that we have in life that people try to use because they don't want to deal with the reality of the situation or the conversation. They can't separate the feelings that they have. And normally when people head for those ramps, it's because they know you're right. And they want to get off the highway as fast as possible, right? Otherwise, if they don't think you're right, they'll stay in and battle it out and sort of have the argument or the discussion or whatever it is. And it's kind of been sitting with me all week, you know, because, and it's funny, and I've said this before, you know, when I get a theme, and I don't know if it's, you know, coincidence or you know, something else, but when I get a theme, it's almost like the week, there's just a whole set of reinforcements that keep talking to me about that theme. You know, I spent some time with one of my friends this week, and he was talking about people that he had in his organization. And I must have heard this speech about 50 times about how they're not working hard enough to this, to that, to this, to that. And so finally, I just sort of said, so like, why don't you get rid of them? If I could cut that piece out of your brain that spends all this time, all week being aggravated by this subject, how freeing would that be? And he goes, oh my God. He said, I feel like I spend most of my life thinking about this and talking about it. And so then I had a further discussion, further thoughts, and I talked to my lovely wife about it as well. And I said, is there like a suffragette part of people? Like, do they feel like they have to suffer? Why is that, right? Why can people not recognize that they have bitched and moaned about something for the longest period of time, and that we are now at the point, not initially, but we all get to that point where there are two problems. There's the problem of the problem of the people that aren't doing the work, and then the problem of the person who's not willing to do anything about the people that are doing the work, which is the far greater one. And it is human nature, and I see it all the time. I spent my lifetime trying to change people's lenses on looking at issues and stop just pounding away at, I wish it was better, I wish it was better, I wish it was better, right? Or, you know, the word blind spot must have come up 50 times this week with different people. Well, you know, Mary has a blind spot, you know, about Bill, and Bill has a blind spot about this. And I'm like, but you've told them, right? And they're like, yeah, but still a blind spot. And I'm like, I don't think it's a blind spot. I actually think they just don't give a shit. And, you know, they're not going to do anything about it. Anyways, it's an interesting paradigm. So the question I have for you then, collectively, is what are those blind spots you think you have? And are they blind spots? And if you're aware of them, are you just better off to just say, nah, no, it's not a blind spot. I realize, I know I do that. And I'm okay with doing that. I mean, no, you may not be okay with me doing, but I'm okay with doing it. I'll own it. Or fess up to do something about it. Yeah, no, you're right. That's inappropriate. That's not what I should be doing. Or, you know, I should be more open about that. And I think, you know, men use that as cover more often than women as an excuse. And I know people will say that I'm generalizing, but you know, I've got a pretty good cross-section of people that I've coached over a lifetime. And so I'm going to consider myself an expert on those types of things, regardless of what other people think. But, you know, men sort of, you know, default to it. Well, you know, I have a blind spot, you know, and stuff like that. And I think men have a default on it far more when it comes to gender issues. They have an unintentional bias. They think it's okay to say I have an unintentional bias. Right. Well, I didn't mean to. Well, that's okay. So you didn't mean to step on my foot today. But if every day we come to the office and you're stepping on my foot, eventually the meaning of I didn't mean to step on your foot loses itself. And I think it's very, very similar to what we need to do for ourselves and what we need to do to help improve ourselves, be a better version of ourselves, right? Stop using that as an excuse, right? Stop using it as the exit ramp, right? Accept responsibility. Yeah, you're right. You know what? I see it this way. I probably shouldn't, but that's how I see it. And I have to decide either that's how I'm going to see it for life and accept the consequences of it, or I'm going to do something about it. But I don't think you can use the example anymore. Probably never could, but I think it's really weak to sort of say I have a blind spot about it. I think you can get away with that once, maybe twice, but at a point in time, you have to sort of let that go. The other thing that came up through the week, which I thought was kind of interesting for me anyways, and I was talking to one of my clients and we were talking about their organization and how far it's moved. And one of the things I said, you know, it's interesting. I've been working with them for quite a while. And when I first started working with them, I would have said the lion's share of people were kind of scab pickers, right? They were always looking for what was an issue and picking away at it and saying this about the organization or this about the organization. And there was a certain predetermined destiny of everybody's lives. They sort of felt like, you know, they were on the GM production line, just putting the four bolts in the front tire and the back tire. And my clients worked really hard at moving the culture. You know, they continue to evolve along that line. But the leader of that, she's done such an incredible job, and the CEO, you don't know, it's not one of those things that you can measure instantly on a graph or anything else. And because I have the view of triangulation into this organization, it's really interesting watching. It's almost like watching a wave in a stadium. You know, they're all sort of sitting down. There's five or six people that get up and start, woo, you know, they start the wave in the stadium. And then it kind of, you know, three or four people along the way sort of stand up. And then the next round, you know, has, and it's almost like permission to join. It's permission to join. Like, I don't have to stand up alone, right? And similarly, in a corporate world, everybody likes to bemoan and crap on the organ. Ah, they don't do this, and they suck at this, and that. And if you stand out and go, well, you know, it's not that bad. Actually, it's pretty good. You go, what are you talking about? You know, you suck. You know, you're just trying to curry favor. But as that wave starts and more people start to see better things happening for broader amounts of people, more fairness, more transparency, it catches on in the exact same way as it catches on with the moaners and the groaners. And then what ends up happening is the moaners and the groaners aren't ruling the earth. It's the people that are going, hey, you know what? Yeah, this is a little different. This opportunity wouldn't have been there before. And it's not big stuff, right? People always think it's like big gestures, but it's little stuff, right? It's little stuff like when someone that you didn't expect gets the job, right? In a positive way. Someone, one of the good guys or the good gals get the job in a positive way, right? As opposed to, oh yeah, that spot's empty. Oh yeah, Bill and Fred over there, they play golf every Saturday and Sunday. So I'm pretty sure that Fred will be getting it. We just went through it here at one of my golf courses where someone unfortunately passed away. And I said, well, is, you know, going to be any discussion about who heads up the committee? And they all know that's already taken care of. Like, don't be silly, you know? And I was like, well, why wouldn't, you know, people, no, they're not interested in discussion, right? And it must be a terrible way to work in organization that you feel like everything is predetermined and nothing that I do will have an impact on it. Well, you know, I know as much as I bash organizations, the one that I work with, and I don't mention them, but they've made that turn. And they've made that turn, and credit to the CEO and the members of the EC and especially credit to the CHRO, because by recognizing that if you help and push people and they know there's opportunity and they know it's all worthwhile, they'll step up. Because I truly believe deep down, we all want to do better. I truly believe that deep down, we all want to care. Because, you know, part of the complaining is caring, but you got to be able to distinguish at what point do we realize that the complaining has to stop because things are getting better. That's the key if you're part of that group. And listen, I get it. You know, I rail on about organizations all the time. And I rail on about stepping up and productively making suggestions. And sometimes it's hard. It's just kind of like speaking into the wind, right? If there's nobody there, nothing gets picked up. People are doing it. And it's a real joy to see when people start to blossom underneath freedom, you know, truth and transparency. So if your organization has it, great. Continue to push it. If your organization doesn't have it, be one of those people that goes and educates people about how we have to change our lens, how we just have to look at it a little differently and not sort of go, well, that's their blind spot. They don't realize or this or that or this or that. So things to think about next week. Two things, actually, which would, I think, be very, very, very helpful. One, think about your own so-called blind spots. Write them down. Like, I like writing things down. You know, I remember someone I knew very close was moving with their kids, and the kids were upset about moving. And they sort of sat down with them. They said, well, why don't we make a list of the good things about moving and the bad things about moving and, you know, sort of to harness their focus on types of things like that. And the reality is we're all kids, whether we're kids or we're like me at 67 years old. Sometimes we all need that same sort of management or discipline. So, you know, think about your own. What are the things that you sort of think to yourself, yeah, it's kind of a blind spot for me. Or I do it over and over again. And And why do I do that? You know, because I don't care. And that's one. And then pick someone you like, really like, and someone that's close and that you would feel comfortable with in having this discussion. And it doesn't have to be a coworker. It could be a family member. It could be spouse. Could be whatever. And, you know, march yourself into the jaws of the lion and see if we can sort of pay this forward. And as I'm doing with you, maybe you could be a messenger to do it with somebody else and really help people be honest with themselves one way or the other, not judgmentally, right? I don't care. Like, I don't care if you want to still view the world that way. It's up to you, right? But if you don't, here's some suggestions on little warnings that you need to be. And normally, you know, in blind spot things, they're flashpoints, right? People don't stop and think about it, right? They've got this inherent bias, because that's what a blind spot is. They have this inherent bias, and it just happens to them. But what I'm saying is, don't let it just happen to you, and see if you can help somebody else not let it happen to them. Help save them from doing something stupid because of that so-called blind spot. I'm Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.